He will remember our sins no more. Amen. He will remember our sins no more. And he said, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The covenant is not between you and God, it's between God and God, and we become partakers in it. Because the first covenant was between you and God. And how did we do? Very bad. Very badly. Well, we kind of just transition into this now. Galatians, the book of freedom. The last time we were in Galatians was March, and we had Easter month, and then we had some other things, and now it's June, and we want to get back to Galatians, the book of freedom. But first, before we do that, we're just not ready yet. We're just not quite ready to train. It's just like shifting gears in a big truck, man. I feel like we're in first and we got to go to second. And we're like, so everybody, you got to push that clutch in. So everybody needs to stand up. Come on, everybody stand up. Oh, do not look so forlorn and sad. This is the part where we get to celebrate each other being here. So let's be celebrating one another's being here. All righty, now we're ready to go into second gear. Yeah, I know. We just need a little. Yeah. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to warm her up. Book of Galatians, the book of review, book of freedom. It's been a couple months since we've been in Galatians, so I really want us to do this. I want us to review this, you know, stay with it a little bit. We're going to just take it a little chapter at a time till we're caught up to where we're supposed to be, which is, I believe, somewhere in chapter 3. We don't know. None of us really know. Yeah, Galatians chapter 1 says this. We're going to start from the very beginning, but we're going to do it a little different. So just stay with it here. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then it starts with verse 6 of chapter 1. I am marveling that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is really not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And we go on to verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I am still a man pleaser, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And that, well, we're going to go a little farther here, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. So we've got all the way down to 12, and that is where we're going to stop. But now what we're going to do is we're going to take in to kind of as a reminder to help you where you're at, to remember where we're at. We're going to be taking in parts of Galatians chapter 1, parts of Galatians chapter 2, parts of Galatians chapter 3, and parts of Galatians chapter 4, just to catch us up. So the way I thought we would do this is answering this question. According to Galatians, what is this different gospel? According to the book of Galatians, what is the different gospel that Paul is cursing? Which gospel is the wrong gospel? Well, and you know what? I could just throw that out there. But I want us to see, as always, like a good teacher does, I want us to see from the scriptures what these people are actually saying. Now, we can say, and you're right, Janine, it is the law, but let's see it. Let's see it. Okay. It's a different gospel. According to Galatians, what is the different gospel? What is this perverted gospel? These are all the things that Paul talks about, verse 6 and verse 7, the different gospel. What's this perverted gospel, verse 7? And what is this accursed gospel, verse 8? And what is this man-pleasing gospel, verse 10? These are the descriptions that Paul gives of this other gospel. It's a different gospel, it's a perverted gospel, it's an accursed gospel, and it's a man-pleasing gospel. Now, what kind of gospel would this be? Now, the thing about we have to remember here, guys, is and we talk about this so many, many times, the Judaizers, the people that were coming in proclaiming these four different things, they were not... they were not like Channel 74 people. Okay? Here's what I say with Channel 74 people, and it's not all 74. But the guy that comes in and says, you know, if you give to this ministry, you'll get tenfold back from God. If you give to this ministry, you'll get a set of steak knives, you know, whatever. If you give to this ministry, you'll get a cloth blessed by the Apostle Ramon, and it will be a benefit in your life. Okay? I can preach like that too. Should hear it sometime. These guys were not like that. They weren't hustlers. They weren't guys that had a $40,000 a month jet. They weren't these guys that have summer houses in Cancun and France and all this kind of stuff, and they preach the gospel for gain. That's not what these guys were. These were very strict, very concerned people about the holiness of God, because all these Gentiles were getting saved, and this was not sitting well with the very strict, we want to obey God, Judaizers. So what's fascinating about this gospel is here you have a very, very, very strict gospel, a very zealous group of people that are proclaiming this gospel, and a very, very appealing rules-centered gospel. These people aren't coming in with immorality and telling the Christians, you know, you can sin as much as you want and it's all the more to God's grace. These people were coming in saying, toe the line. Repent. Follow the law. Because that's the only way you can please God. So you wouldn't be able to say to these people, so are you saying that we can continue in sin that grace may abound? That's not what these people were saying. And yet Paul calls it, even though it's tough, it's a tough gospel, he calls it a different gospel, he calls it a perverted gospel, he calls it an accursed gospel, and he calls it a man-pleasing gospel. How can something so tough be wrong? I thought religion was tough. Religion is hard. If you look at every religion in the entire world, folks, most of them have an element of hardness to them. Traveling 100 miles on your knees. Martin Luther went to Rome and went up these stairs on his hands and knees, thinking that somehow severe treatment of the body would bring him closer to God. See, that's inbred in our natures, folks. We somehow think that if we try harder, that if we suffer more, that somehow God will look at us and say, that I am appeased with. And that, folks, is a different gospel. A perverted gospel, an accursed gospel, and a man-pleasing gospel. Now, we as Christians, we suffer. We have trials. I'm not saying that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm trying to get you to see is these people that were in Galatia, these people that were in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, all of these people, they were very zealous, and they were striving like as a contestant in a race, in an event, to be righteous before God. And yet Paul still calls them a different, perverted, accursed, man-pleasing gospel. Man, that just, we just look at that and we're like, man, they're trying so hard and they were so strict. Surely they must be holy. No. Well, here's some of these things, because remember, we're doing this. According to Galatians, what is these four things? Well, here's one in Galatians 2:3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Okay? I got it highlighted and underlined. That's something that they were saying. Verse 4 of Galatians chapter 2, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty. Remember, there's a key there. They came in to spy out your liberty, to bring you into what? Slavery again. Rules and regulations. Tough, hard religion. See, I used to think that, folks. This isn't somebody who see, this is the thing. Here we go again. Let's go back to me, okay, just for a second. Yeah, because it's not about me. I just want to bring up a testimony. Hey, okay, a testimony. You guys know my teaching on drinking. Okay? My teaching on drinking is, the Bible says don't be drunk. Okay? So, is social drinking acceptable? Well, that's, you know, your liberty, wherever that is. But I don't drink. At all. So, when I tell you what I just told you, I'm not telling you this because I want everybody to be on the same page I am. And I want you all to know that drinking's okay because I am a big time drunk. And I want to feel good about myself. Okay? That's not it. Okay? I seriously don't. I don't drink at all. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's worth it for me. And so I don't. So now here I'm going to say this. For me to say that we stand in complete liberty in Jesus Christ, as my wife can attest to, and anybody that knows me, that is a huge step. Because in my thinking, religion was always hard. And in my thinking, if it wasn't tough, then it wasn't from God. If it was tough, that meant it was from God. If it was easy, that meant it wasn't from God. And so I was very susceptible to anything that came in that was hard and tough. And that, folks, is false. Because the Jewish people had a very tough religion. They had 614 laws that they had to keep, folks, and you had to keep every single one of those laws. And let me tell you what, Gentiles, you weren't even under the law. But you do the same. You can't keep any laws. How many of you have went exactly 55 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone this week? You broke the law. Okay, they give you 4 or 5 miles over. But there's some times where you hit the gas. You break the law. Folks, you break thousands of laws a week, and you don't even know them. Well, that doesn't count. Yeah, it does. It still counts. If you were a Jewish person, you had 614 laws to obey. There were 300-something things you weren't supposed to do, and there were 200-something things you were supposed to do. And only by doing those were you holy. That's tough, isn't it? Try it sometime. It's impossible. I've tried. It makes you crazy. So when I put out the testimony there, guys, as I've told you many times before, when I'm speaking about something that says where sin abounds, grace superabounds, that's not an easy topic for me. Had I been in Galatia at that time? I don't know, man. Here I am. I'm just like this. I see Peter go down. Then I see Barnabas go down. And then I see the rest of the Jews go down. And here's Kennedy, who doesn't always think he's always right. What do you think I'm going to do? I probably would have got sucked right in with them. It takes a very strong person to say, no, that's bondage, and this is liberty, and here's where I stand. So whoever these people were, they were very strict. And I'm putting this out here to you today, guys, because I want you to know that there is a lot of strict religion around you. There's a lot of people in Christianity that preach a very strict religion. There's a lot of people in Christianity that would preach this, that you would never be able to say of them, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Because their very thing is no, you'll be damned. And you would never, ever say anything about that to them. And so my challenge to you today is if your gospel presentation does not lead it, does not lend it for somebody to go, so are you saying that I can sin as much as I want and it'll still redound all the more to grace? If you've never been misconceived like that, then you better check your gospel presentation because it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. If nobody has ever taken advantage of your gospel presentation, if nobody has ever said, so what are you saying, that I can do whatever I want? Then you need to recheck your gospel. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Well, let's keep going here. So there's a couple things here. Bondage, circumcision. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the gospel. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. This is Peter now. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself. Now, there's another part of the false gospel. Peter withdrawing and separating himself. Now, what significance does that have? Anybody just off the top of your head know that one?
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's a hypocrisy, but what was it about the Jews that made Peter have to do that? There it is. He was slowly getting put back under the law because Jews don't eat with Gentiles, people. That's significant. So whatever these guys were doing, they were also telling the believers that you cannot, if you're Jewish, eat with these Gentiles. Whatever they were doing, they were telling them this too. And there's yours, Mark. And the rest of the Jews also played hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. So there is a hypocrisy going on. And what is the hypocrisy? You know what the hypocrisy was? The hypocrisy was this. And Paul called Peter on it. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, you who are a Jew, yet you live like Gentiles, because Peter, I saw you eating bacon yesterday. Yet you tell these Gentiles to live like a Jew when you're not even living like a Jew? Yet you're withdrawing, so you're picking and choosing. You're being a hypocrite, Peter, and that's where the hypocrisy comes in. All right, let's hear some more. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So there's another one. There was some sort of justification that they were allowing for the works of the law. Something about the law was justifying them. That we might be justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh will ever be justified. Okay, so let's take all these as one here. What do we know so far about this false gospel? Well, here you go. Oops, wrong way. Boink. And thunk, there. Number one, in 2:12, it holds to the separation again of Jews and Gentiles. That's part of the false gospel that they're preaching. There's a Jew and Gentile separation that needs to be reestablished. Number three, in 2:3 of Galatians, it's about circumcision. Now see, all these are very significant, folks. These are very significant. What what was it about circumcision that was so important? Does anybody know? Just Yeah. It was the beginning. If you put yourself in circumcision, what you were saying was, is now I am adopting the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. I am now adopting the Mosaic covenant, and I am now obligated to live and be sanctified by the Mosaic covenant. And so circumcision was a big thing. It wasn't just something that was tough and painful and they needed to do those things. It was something significant because it was an outward sign of putting you under the old covenant. Now, we have something today that's somewhat similar, but it happens after belief. What is it called? Baptism. Baptism is an outward sign that you are now under the new covenant. And you are related to the new covenant. Does circumcision save anybody? It didn't. Not in the Old Testament. It never did. It was a sign. Does baptism save anyone? No. Guys, the same. It's a sign. But for those of us in here, and Dave and I had this talk the other day because we're kind of disturbed a little bit because there are some people that have never been baptized. This is kind of an offshoot. Why have you never been baptized? Well, yeah, it is. Are you under the old covenant or new? Then get baptized. New covenant people. You're already saved. Now, let's have a show of hands. Who's not? No. I really think the EV Free Church was lax in this for many years. And I do like some of the tightening up they've done. Baptism does not save, but folks, if you're a believer and you're in Jesus Christ, then let people know it. Get baptized. What up? You know, the best thing I ever heard was probably Ryrie's thing about this, is like, does God know what's going to happen before you even pray? Yeah, so why pray? Because he says so. You know, if God knows that you're going to live to a certain point in time, why eat? Because God said so. Baptism doesn't save, but Jesus did it. Everybody did it, so do it. What up? You know, we're going to have a baptismal service. It's going to be called the What Up Service. Because it's for, like, what's up, guys? Get baptized. You know, so, I mean, that's a little offshoot. Rein it back in, Kennedy. Circumcision, big thing. That was like you saying, yeah, man, you're in it. You're part of it. You are a part of the new covenant or the old covenant. Here's another one. 2:4, it's about bondage. Whatever this is, it's about bondage. 2:13 says it's about hypocrisy. And 2:16 says it's something about works. So, but it's good. It's good. Because it can fool Peter. It can fool Barnabas. It can fool Jewish believers. And it can also fool you. It can fool you too. If Peter can be fooled, if Barnabas can be fooled, if the Jewish believers can be fooled, you can be fooled. So, there's something about circumcision. There's something about getting put back into bondage. It's something about hypocrisy because it's a picking and choosing. The hypocrisy part is picking and choosing. It's about a works because Paul was very adamant at explaining away the works. Okay, are you with me? Everybody still with me? Do we need a seventh inning stretch here? Let's continue. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Okay, let's keep that in our minds. Chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? There are some important things here, folks. Important things about works of the law, not obeying the truth, being made perfect by the flesh. Okay, let's keep going. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why? Because nobody can do them. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can. You know the hardest people to reach with the gospel? Do you know what they are? Who do you think the hardest people are to reach with the gospel? Yes, the ones that think they're okay. The ones that think they're doing everything that they need to do. Those are the hardest people to reach with the gospel. Those are also the hardest Christians to reach with grace. Because they have not gotten to the point where they have totally failed. And they have nowhere to turn but the blood of Jesus Christ. Guys, I'm going to say let it all go. Your best, the best of the best of the best of the best day of your whole life is still rubbish to God. And you need to grab a hold of the blood of Jesus Christ as your only hope. Because it really is. Guys, Paul couldn't do it. If Paul can't do it, neither can you. If Mother Teresa can't do it, neither can you. Because there's nobody in here that comes close to Paul's sanctification. There's nobody in here that comes even remotely close to Mother Teresa's service in her lifetime. And yet Paul was able to say, "O wretched man that I am." And Mother Teresa at the end of her life said, "I'm cold. People tell me that God loves me, but I feel empty. It's dark. I don't feel anything. Have I made a mistake in serving the Lord?" Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Verse 12, "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Well, there's something there too. The man who does them shall live by them. Okay, we'll go a couple more slides here and then we'll be done today. And yes, young lady, I will answer your question soon enough. Verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds as of many." Okay, here's another argument that somehow Paul is answering. "But as of one, and to your seed who is Christ." Let's keep going. Verse 18, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." Let's keep going. Chapter 4, verse 3, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But now, after you've known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again?" Notice the descriptive words here, folks. Notice what Paul is calling the false gospel. Notice what he is calling the perverted gospel. Notice what he is calling the man-pleasing gospel. He's calling it weak and beggarly. And it brings people not to freedom, but it brings people to bondage. The strength of sin is the law. if your Christian life is lived by law, you will slowly, as time goes by, grow more legalistic, you will grow more hard, and you will grow more miserable than you were when you first started your Christian life. I guarantee it. That is a 100% guarantee. Your love will continue to dissipate, because you will be so concerned with rules that you will have no time for love. And you will be so concerned with everybody else obeying your type of Christianity that your love will disappear. And you will die a bitter old man or woman. Golly, is that scary or what? How many people in here want to die bitter old? Who? Not me. I think I'll pass on that one. I'll take the other train, please. I'm going to skip the bitter train. I don't want to die in that state. I want my love to be greater at the end of my life than it was at the beginning. But folks, the only way you're going to get there is you got to give up your rules and regulations, and you got to start to understand the love of Jesus Christ through the grace of Jesus Christ, knowing your position in Jesus Christ, and knowing how far you have fallen short, and that's why you need Jesus Christ. Amen? That's it. And if you don't do that, I am warning you, you will end up miserable and bitter. You've got to let it go. You know, if you can't let it go, you know what? Here's something scary. Do this. Say, oh God, let me have an Isaiah 6 experience. That gives me goosebumps. Look at those. I don't think anybody in here wants to go through that. Read Isaiah 6 once, what Isaiah went through. Good Isaiah, better than you, Isaiah, better than any of us, Isaiah, saw the Lord in his throne and freaked out. And he said, I am a dead man. I am a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. Oh God, I have no leg to stand on. Help me. That's basically what Isaiah said. So if you think you're better than Isaiah, I can't help you. I can't help you. You're occupied with verse 10, observing days, months, seasons, years. You're all about things. All right, this is the last thing we're going to talk about. What else do you know about this false gospel? Okay, let's tabulate it. Here we are, we're tabulating it. Okay, first of all, what we read, it's about setting aside the grace of God, which we see that in verse 21. Whatever this perverted gospel was, whatever this false gospel was, whatever this man-pleasing gospel was, it was setting aside the grace of God. It was saying basically that Jesus is not needed in sanctification and justification. There's some weird element there. Number two, it's about righteousness through the law. We see this in 2:20. Both for justification and for sanctification. See, none of the Christians in Galatia would go, Jesus isn't who he said he is, and it's all about the law, and we need to go back to the sacrifices. That's not what the problem in Galatia was. Because Peter was fooled. You think Peter said that about Jesus? No. You think Barnabas said that about Jesus? No, because we see Peter and Barnabas appear again in Acts chapter 15, which is after this incident in Galatia. And Peter is the one that stands up first and says, it's about faith. It's not about law. Why do you test God and put on the necks of the Gentiles something that not even we were able to do? Peter stands up first. Do you think Peter learned his lesson? So that's not what's going on in Galatia. There's something more. If you really want to be good Christians, there's something more you need. And this stuff is what you need. You need to be a little more Jewish. You need to be a little more... You need to have some law in your life. Okay, number three, verse 3:1. It's about not obeying the truth. Stay with me. This is the last thing we're going to talk about. This is like, we got like six of them. after this. After the next six. Just kidding. It's about receiving the Spirit by the works of the law. Do you see that? That's the first one. How did you get the Spirit? You. Tell me how you got the Spirit. Chris, how'd you get the Spirit? Through Jesus. Yeah. Through asking. Through belief. Okay? Did you get it by keeping all the laws? Did you get it by being good enough? Right. So Paul's going, guys, you didn't receive the Spirit by the works of the law. Why in the world are you trying to now go back to the law to live your life? Because here it is. Here it is. Verse 3:3 of Galatians. It's about being sanctified by the law. This is where most of the Galatians were falling. Here's where they were falling. They were setting aside the grace of God. They were opting for the law way of sanctification, and they were rejecting the grace way of sanctification. And Paul is saying, no, it's not the law, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit, it's the Spirit, it's the Spirit. Just like you were justified by faith in Jesus Christ, which gave you the Spirit, your Christian life is now governed by the Holy Spirit, not by rules and regulations. Verse 3:10 says it's about being under the curse. So these are all the things that we're learning about the law. Let's do a couple more. Galatians 3:10 through 12. It's about doing all the law. We saw this already. It's about, and you know what? It's also about being Jewish. How is it about being Jewish? Huh? How is it about being Jewish? 3:16. What does 3:16 say? Oh. There's a seed and seeds problem here. There's a seed and seeds problem. Notice what 3:16 says. 3:16 says this. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular or plural? That's one, where the promise is made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ Jesus. Who do you think, what do you think Paul was trying to show them there? Because remember, the Jews always believed nine, right? Okay, what Paul is trying to show there, who knows what Paul's trying to show there? Anybody? What is Paul trying to say here? What is he trying to say about being Jewish? How is seed and seeds an argument about it's not about being Jewish? There it is, right back there. Say it again, Jeff. Seeds represents Israel. These false gospel people were coming in and they were saying, unless you're part of the seeds of Israel, you cannot be saved. Unless you're a Jew, you cannot be saved. And the promises are through the law to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. And Paul is saying, absolutely not. Because Abraham was 430 years before the law even came, and the promise was to all the people of the world at that point through Abraham, not just to the Jewish people. It comes through the Jewish people, but it's not just the Jewish people. And so the whole argument there, guys, this whole law, whatever this whole thing is, it's about being Jewish, and it's about inheriting the promise by what you do and not by what you believe. If you do, if you belong, if you are, you get the promise. And Paul said, that is a perverted gospel. That is a wrong gospel. That is a man-pleasing gospel. And that's a false brethren promoted gospel. Okay. So much more left, but we'll talk about this next week. Oh, yeah. We'll start with verse 4 or chapter 4. Good. We've stopped right just about where I needed to stop. If you want to study a little bit, start with Galatians chapter 4, because this is where we're going to be next week, and we're going to be pointing out all of the false gospel stuff that Paul presents in chapter 4. So, we'll read ahead from there. Okay, we went long. Thanks for staying with me. It's been a long week. Everybody still with me? Yes, I know. I'm gearing up for the next round, folks. Woo! Now, we have one question here from this young little lady. What was your question? Oh, like the little frog on the Looney Tunes. Yes, and she raised her hand. Yes, your question about am I sweet and nice and good? Yes. She always hides from me. No, you already fixed that. Okay, we're going to do communion now. Communion is a celebration. Communion is a celebration. You want to get communion down, read 7 and 8 and 9 of Hebrews. Wow. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about remembering Jesus. It's not about you. And in America and some other places in the world, we make it all about us. It's about us. It's about who we are, what we are. If we're doing good, we're doing bad. If we're doing not, we're this. And we totally take our eyes off Jesus Christ. Folks, none of you in here are good enough. Give it up. We're righteous through Christ. Let's have our guys come forward. We got some guys here. What's up, Big Mike? You're right, man. I love to do this. This is a celebration. You know what? There's some churches that do this every week. And it's a meal. Wouldn't that be fun? The only trouble you get into is you start showing up eating all the food first and getting drunk. Then we got issues. Okay? All right. Let's start. Here you go, guys.